Welcome to Betamax Rewind, the only podcast that consistently records and releases its episode on the same day every week. Here are two guys who would definitely wear a dead person's shoes, Matt and Doug.
I thought you were going to go in the same direction as me. Hi, it's Matt. How are you doing, Doug?
I'm good. It's been a while.
It has been a while. And you sent me that open. I almost didn't send you a thing saying, hey, you're going to send the open, because I had one written. And I'm going to read you what it was.
Okay.
And I thought she was actually going to do the same thing. Welcome to Betamax Rewind, the only podcast that records based on the scheduling whims of Little League Baseball. Here are two guys that don't care how big or small you are. You can't check their prostate after doing a line of blow. Matt and Doug. So, yeah, it has been a week and a half. So I will, even though it's not warranted, I will take half the blame for that, and we'll get into that in what's going on. But you want to fill anything in or just jump right into it?
Let's just jump right in, man.
And now it's time for podcast housekeeping.
I have very little, and most of them are clips that either I brought up or one that you missed completely. You did have it, by the way. But we've talked about the Mandela effect before.
Yes.
And for the, I don't know, how many times do you think you've seen A New Hope?
Oh, it's easily 100. Easily
100. Okay. So then I would say probably 50 for me.
Okay.
I always thought that Obi-Wan said, they're not for sale if you're wondering. Yeah. And I was convinced. I was convinced that you were wrong. And I went and watched it and looked at the subtitles. And no shit, they're up for sale if you're interested.
They're up for sale if you want them.
Yeah.
Yeah. Crazy.
Yeah. So I had that. So I think you have at least one more Star Wars related thing.
I have two more Star Wars related things.
Okay.
Yes. So we talked about the Imperial officer Darth Vader choke training.
Orientation day here on the jolly old Death Star. Now, there are a few things we want to go over with you concerning Lord Vader. First and foremost, he thinks he has the power to strangle us. Truth is, he doesn't. If he ever realized this, he would kill us with his lightsaber. Thus, to keep us safe, we'll all pretend to get strangled. Okay, let's try a practice. Commander Winston here will assist me. I'm going to hold out my hand like Lord Vader, and he will pretend to be strangled. Gasping for air. Grabs throat. Yes, yes. Eyes back, and he's down. Good show, Commander. Now, two of the floor chiefs will retrieve the corpse. Redress him, add a moustache, and he's back to work as Lieutenant Leopold. Vader has the satisfaction of killing someone, and we stay amongst the living. Why, Private Perkins over there has been strangled over 30 times, haven't you, Perkins? Good man.
Is that the guy who killed Kirk?
The guy who killed Kirk?
Yeah.
Malcolm McDowell?
Yeah.
No, I don't believe so. Maybe it is. Maybe it is.
Okay.
Yeah. You got anything, or you just want me to keep rolling?
Why don't you go, and then I'll go through mine.
Okay, the clip that I'm like, hey, you're going to play that clip? And you're like, I don't have it. But I did send it to you. Okay. It was labeled weird. So go ahead and play that.
The exhaust shaft is only 2 meters wide, so you'll have to use proton torpedoes.
Well, that's impossible, even for a computer.
It's not impossible. I used to bullseye womp rats in my T-16 back home. They're not much bigger than 2 meters.
Hey, Can I talk to you privately for a second?
Sure.
That was unnecessary.
What's the problem?
Well, you just kind of called me out in front of everybody back there.
I was just making a point.
I know, but you like just kind of sandbagged me in front of everyone.
I sandbagged you
in front of all of our friends. Yeah, you sandbagged me.
You sandbagged me.
Yes.
Well, here I am trying to help you.
You know what? I don't need your kind of help. All right. Have a great assault, jerk.
I heard a little Brian in that.
Oh, yeah. That's definitely a Family Guy clip.
Yes.
Yeah. And that's all I have for housekeeping.
Okay. I mentioned Steptoe and Son.
Yeah.
Steptoe and Son was the British show that Sanford and Son was based on. It was actually the first British show that was brought across the pond.
Okay. I've been using the Red Fox, I'm Coming Elizabeth gif quite a bit lately.
Okay. To the missus?
No, to just about everybody. That's been related to baseball in some shape or form.
Okay. Triumph of the Will, not Triumph of the Wills, was made by Leni Riefenstahl in 1935 and was a Nazi propaganda film.
Ah.
Vicky Stark is the fisherman on OnlyFans that I talked about.
Okay.
So you can Google her if you want. You had talked specifically about the...
Is there sex involved or is it just nudity?
It's just nudity.
Oh, okay. You can see that anywhere.
Yeah, that's true. But you had talked about seeing the pictures that Jen had posted from vacation.
Yeah.
And it reminded you of this.
Yankee Bean, I like my Yankee Bean.
Feeding the invalid.
I think I said Navy Bean.
Well, I was able to find it.
Yeah.
Elaine Soup Invalid. Was
yes, enough. There you go. Looks just like Matt.
James Earl Jones was not credited in the original Star Wars, which is the reason I did not have him. He's probably in the front page of IMDb.
He is.
But since he wasn't credited, that's why I didn't pull him. Right. This was a clip that I actually meant to play last week. You remember you talked about, you had a really clever joke that you came up with?
I don't.
Okay. Well, this is Chris Hemsworth telling your joke.
You know, the joke about that Thor spends a night with this woman and the next morning he says, I have to tell you who I am. You know, I'm Thor. She says, you're Thor. I can hardly walk.
Did not realize you were that tight with Chris
Hemsworth. My mom told me that joke when I was like 9. So I'm pretty sure that that joke was told to me before Chris Hemsworth was even born.
Okay.
Who did it better? Was it Doug or Matt?
I'm willing to bet there's a lot this week.
There's really not.
Really?
And that might be for reasons I'll be discussed very, very shortly. The first one is you.
Over here!
Over here!
Not bad. Not bad.
Uh-huh.
Next one is also you.
Luke.
Not bad. The next two are very similar. One of them is mine, one of them is yours. So the first All one right. is mine. And the next one's you. And that was Garindan.
Okay.
That's the characters, and it was John Wayne's voice sped up.
All right.
Next one is me. Not very good.
Let them die. Let them die.
It's from Star Trek VI.
Okay.
Next one is just labeled noise, and it's me. Not really close.
Right. No.
And the last one is both of us, and one of us got it right, one of us is not even close.
I'm care. Innocent.
I don't care.
I didn't kill my wife. I don't care.
I really feel like there was more Star Wars stuff that we mimicked.
There was, but like I said, I'll get into it in just a minute as to why. But I'm going to...
And there has been Doug. You just got beat by Doug.
I'll take it.
Hey, man, what's new now? What's fucking new? Now.
All right, my week. I'll go first. It took me forever to watch this movie. My children are in the stage where they want to be with me. They want to do things with me, and or they just constantly need my help with something. It's sure. like being pecked to death by 100 chickens. Dad. Mom gets the same thing. You're in the stage where your children really don't like you anymore. I mean, they will in a couple of years, but right now you're just this kind of grumpy old man that they have to tolerate. They really don't want to spend a whole lot of time with.
Unless they need something, yet.
Well, of course, unless they need something, yes. But it's just, I mean, this whole week and a half has been, I would sit down to watch the movie and, Dad, can we watch First Blood Part 2? Well, I'm not going to say no to that. I'm not, you know, the first thing that runs through my head is, oh, I got to watch this movie for the podcast. Oh, fuck that, man. I'm going to go watch First Blood Part 2. with my kid. And then baseball has been going on. And, you know, baseball's not that time consuming, but goddamn, just coaching one game, there's a lot of emotion going on. So when I get home at 8 o'clock from a game, mm-hmm. or 8:30, man, I'm just whooped. And that's where the Red Fox, I'm coming Elizabeth meme comes in, because since we've talked last, we have not lost a game. We're 0-3 since we've talked.
3-0, you mean? Yes,
that's what I'm sorry. 3-0. And we beat a team that was undefeated. We whooped up on a team. And then last night we had a game that it was our last at bat. We had two outs, two strikes, a runner on third. We were down by one run, and my power hitter was due in the lineup, and he smacked a home run. It was just fucking awesome. And, you know, it's just those little things where I'm just kind of sitting there in the dugout. I'm like, yeah, okay, we're going to lose, man. This is just, it's baseball. It's little league baseball. But man, the valley and peaks of emotions that happen when you're in that situation are something else. We're having our house painted, and painter shows up yesterday at 6 o'clock in the morning because it's hot as fuck. So he wanted to get an early start, and we've got these four boxwood bushes that are up against the house. And he's like, "Hey, can you trim those?" Yeah, man, no problem. So I got out my trimmer, my corded trimmer, and the missus helped me, and we just hacked the shit out of these bushes. Well, he's got his radio going, and when you do a movie bed for a movie, that's the forever. That is how you will hear that song, correct?
For the most part, yeah.
Yeah. While I'm sitting there hacking those bushes, at least four songs that I did movie beds for came on. I'm like, are you fucking kidding me? I mean, just obscure songs that had no place on this radio station, but this radio station just happened to play them all. And I'm really, really concerned about this week's movie bed, because it is the song I did is in my top five all time.
Okay, you know, so it's not just an song, earworm. It's also one that you really like.
Yes. And I, so over the course of, since I've done it the last couple of days while I'm working, I'm trying to sing the actual lyrics to the song so I can get that back embedded in my head, because I don't want this podcast to ruin that song. But yeah, man, that's really pretty much it. You know, Father's Day, came and went, and my wife did the best thing possible. She took my children away on Father's Day. And that's when I finally actually finished watching the movie.
Okay.
And then after the movie, I lied down for a nap, and I fell asleep for about a minute and a half, and they came home and woke me. And you've seen my house. There's no good place to nap in this house. It's an open concept. Whether I'm in the bedroom or in the living room or a child's bedroom, I'm going to hear commotion. I can go in the basement where it's dark and it's like a cave, but my kids are like a herd of elephants up above me. I'll never fall asleep down there. So
okay.
That's it. Now let's hear your problems.
All right. So you remember what I said about Jen at the top of the podcast last week?
That she had COVID.
Yeah. She had tested positive for COVID. So I got up Monday morning.
Right.
And the first thing I had to do is I had to take my son to go get the car that the other son had hit a parked car with. And I am just, I'm feeling like absolute dog shit. And so we go get the car, come back, and it's only 7:45 at this point. And I'm like, you know what? Fuck it. I will take a COVID test. And sure as shit, it was positive. I had a meeting at 10 o'clock with my entire team. So I figured I'm going to go through 10 o'clock at 10 o'clock. I'll have my meeting. After that meeting's over, I'll shut it down. It was a struggle.
So online?
Yes. Online.
Online meeting?
Yes.
Okay. All
right. Struggled. Yeah,
that would have been a dick move to go into the office with COVID.
Yeah. I'm not so sure that.
Why are you wearing a mask? Why are you wearing a mask, Matt? I got COVID.
Well, I'm not so sure that my hockey team is happy with me, because I had to inform them as well. But I had tested negative prior to the game, but I had played the night before. So
okay.
So I started referring to Jen as patient zero. And I'm sure you probably remember from when I've been up at the Shangri-La, I have a very much an OCD thing about getting my 10,000 steps a day, where I will walk down to the bar, which is probably about a mile and a half, and walk back. And it's not, and it's down a hill and up a hill, but to help me get my steps every day. In the 5 years that I have been tracking, you know, my steps, there's been less than 10 days that I have not hit that 10,000 steps. And usually when I've missed it, it's just because I was at like 9,950 and I forgot to get those extra 50 steps before the day ran out. From Monday and Tuesday, I had a total of like 2,500 steps. I was just in bed all day Monday, most of the day Tuesday. And on Tuesday, Jen started laying into me about, are you going to get up? What is wrong with you? And I actually recorded the conversation between us because I thought she was being a little rude to me.
Okay.
What have you become?
I am what you made me.
The number of times I told her, you did this to me, cannot be counted.
Was that from this morning's episode?
No, it was from the third episode.
Oh, okay. So when you're that sick, could you even watch anything, or were you just have the lights out? I just need to lie here and sleep.
We watched this movie Tuesday night.
All right.
So, and it, when we get to the end of the podcast, we talk about what we're watching. There's quite a few things that I actually have gotten caught up on. But
all right.
So sick, and I was out Monday, Tuesday. Went back to work on Wednesday. Worked Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, have worked this week, but I cannot go back into the office until next Monday. That's the first day I can go back into the office. Mm-hmm. And I skipped my hockey game on Sunday just because, you know, probably the best course of action. But so I got the car on Monday that had been crashed. Another car accident on Wednesday. Other kid hit another parked car. And let's see, between the two of them, one of them was a Lexus and the other one was a BMW.
Hmm.
So our insurance is going up a little bit.
Just a little bit, you think?
But, you know, you don't have conference calls for your job. I mean, it's not like you're calling up, hey, Mr. Bug, I'm coming to kill you. You know, you don't have anything like that. A lot of my day is spent on conference calls. And most of them are just audio. Sometimes they are required to be video. But for the most part, I am listening and I'm muted, and then I will like turn it on when I have to say something. But of, let's say I have 25 calls in a given week, maybe six or seven of them I lead. The rest of them, I'm a participant, but I'm not on all the time. So I'm on mute most of the time. There was a call on Monday of this week where I was actually leading it. So I had to be talking the entire time. And as I'm talking, I feel like a massive, massive fart brewing.
Mm-hmm.
And I can't mute myself because I have to keep talking. And I can't say, guys, excuse me for 1 second. I suppose I could have said I was going to have a coughing attack or something.
Yeah.
But so then, you know, I just kind of like rear up and just, you know, just airy. Uh-huh. No big deal. Conference call is done. And then I go to the bathroom. No, I actually didn't go to the bathroom. I went to get a drink from the refrigerator. And I come back and I sit down. Something ain't right.
When you're feeling blue and there's nothing left to do, you can talk about poop, poop, poop.
Yeah, I drew wet.
Okay.
And I didn't realize it for like 10 minutes.
Oh.
And so then, you know, okay, I go upstairs. I kind of just wash them down, rinse them down, and I throw them in the tub. Figure I'll do a load of laundry later. About half an hour later, Jen comes. Why is there a pair of shorts in the tub? I'm like, don't worry, I'll take care of it. So yeah, there's
well, that. You know what? You know what? I'm gonna sit in that tub of shame with you. I wasn't gonna talk about this, but as long as you did, this is a bad one, man. And I was really debating whether or not I should tell this on the air, but at this point, what have I got to lose? Right?
Fair enough. Story redacted at the request of Doug. Ready for Sound of the Week?
I am ready for Sound of the Week.
Matt and Doug are at it again. Guess that sound and you are awesome. What movie will it be from? I really want to know.
I think you'll get this.
All right, just to make sure, is the reveal shorter than the actual clip?
Yes.
Okay. Okay. So I'll play it. I have a guess. I'm pretty sure I'm wrong, though.
Okay, what's your guess?
Poltergeist?
No. You're in the same genre.
See, I was thinking that might have been like right before the tree came through. And Poltergeist, that's the one with Mr. Marbles too.
Mm-hmm.
Mr. Marbles? I have no idea. I'll play the reveal.
All right.
Here's Johnny.
Oh. Oh, I should have got that one.
You should have got that one.
That was 1980, right?
Yes, it was.
Okay. And for everybody that did not know, and they should, that's the Shining. So
the Shining?
Yeah. The Simpsons called it so they did not get sued.
Oh, all right. Did not know that.
Yeah, it's I'm not a big Simpsons guy, but what is the Groundskeeper Willie?
Yes.
If you Google go on YouTube, Groundskeeper Willie, The Shining.
All right.
I have a whole bit about it. So, all right, ready for the movie itself?
I am. That's right, ladies and gentlemen. This week we are doing Empire of the Sun, released Christmas Day, 1987, directed by Steven Spielberg, best known for 1941 and AI, had a budget of $35 million, only grossing $22 million.
1942. And a Rotten
Tomato... What's that?
1942.
No, it's 1941.
Is it?
1941. Yes.
I thought it was 42. Okay.
No, it's 1941. Now I'm questioning it. I'm pretty sure it's 1941. 1942 was the Midway video game.
Okay, yeah. I was actually, once you got the two planes on either side of you, you were basically unstoppable in that game.
Right, right. No, it's 1941 because it takes place on Christmas of 1941.
Okay, okay.
All right, right after the Japanese bombed Pearl Harbor. Where were we
Germans.
After I was rudely... The Germans, yes, the Germans bombed Pearl Harbor.
I'm rolling.
Had a Rotten Tomato critic score of 70% and an audience score of 90% based on the J.G. Ballard's autobiographical novel, starring Christian Bale, best known for American Psycho, John Malkovich, best known for being John Malkovich, Miranda Richardson, best known for being in Matt's favorite movie, The Crying Game. And did you ever see The Crying Game?
No, I have not.
I took a first date to that movie, having no idea that there was cock in it.
Yeah, I actually had an experience where I Googled somebody on Celebrity Movie Archive, and they have a cock.
Oh, all right. Hey, how about that? And Nigel Havers, best known for Chariots of Fire. So now it's time for...
Welcome back. You've been on this show before. Welcome back. How many times does this make it?
I know for a fact I have this wrong. I have one, and okay. That's Joey Pants, his fourth right. time with Risky Business, Eddie and the Cruisers, and Midnight Run.
Yes, but you're also leaving out David Niedorf.
Oh, from the basketball film, Hoosiers.
Platoon, Hoosiers, and Bull Durham.
Okay.
And seriously, we've done more than half of his film credits.
Okay.
And Ralph Seymour from Fletch. No idea who that is.
Oh, he's the guy who plays the bum on not Fat Sam, the other bum on the beach in Fletch.
Not the black dude.
No, the guy that Fletch is talking to under the overpass, and he says, "How old are you?" And he's like, "You're not doing very well." The one where Fletch throws the brick.
Oh, okay. All right.
It's that guy.
All right.
No, it's time for...
All right. We saw your boobs. We saw your boobs. In the movie that we saw your boobs.
Miranda Richardson in Dance with a Stranger and also in Damage.
All right. That's it. Okay. Did you see this in the theater?
I did not see this in the theater, but I do remember when I saw it because I saw it under somewhat of a unique circumstance.
All right.
I saw it in school. I saw it in high school.
Really?
In a class from a teacher that is now dead.
Really?
Yes. I don't remember which one. It was Steinke's class.
Okay.
Because he taught a class about...
The Far East.
The Far East, right. And we watched this film in that class.
Interesting. I'm pretty sure I saw this on Christmas Day. Because I know I saw it with my dad, my brother, and my sister. And 87, that would have been, my sister would have been home from college. My brother would have been like a senior in high school. So we would have all been together on Christmas. And we used to do Christmas Eve at my dad's house and then wake up and do Christmas morning at my dad's and then go to my mom's for dinner. And I think we came home and my dad's like, "Come on, let's go see this movie." So,
yeah, I did Christmas movies quite a bit.
I saw Eddie Murphy Raw on Christmas Day.
Goony Goo Goo. I don't know if that's Raw or not. So I did not see this in the theater. You saw this in the theater, but
yeah,
the movie starts, and this is the thing that it has a crawl, but the crawl starts midway up the screen,
right? And it's unusual for a Spielberg movie to have a crawl.
I'm trying to think if there's anything else that he's done that has a crawl.
I don't think so.
1942?
43.
Okay. Okay.
The third part.
Okay. So, go ahead.
Here's the crawl.
In 1941, China and Japan had been in a state of undeclared war for 4 years. A Japanese army of occupation was in control of much of the countryside and many towns and cities. In Shanghai, thousands of Westerners, protected by the diplomatic security of the international settlement, continued to live as they had lived since the British came here in the 19th century and built in the image of their own country. Built banking houses, hotels, offices, churches, and homes that might have been uprooted from Liverpool or Surrey. Now their time was running out. Outside Shanghai, the Japanese dug in and waited for Pearl Harbor.
You know, you should have done that. You should have redone it with the Star Wars, Clone Wars music.
I was serious. I'm like, okay, I've done it before, but this would be even more epic if I did it to the Clone Wars theme.
Yeah.
Yeah. But I don't know. I ran out of time. There weren't a whole lot of notes on IMDb about this movie. And most of it didn't really have anything to do with like where it was shot or there's nothing really interesting in the IMDb notes. I couldn't dig up a lot of information about this movie, but a movie that starts off looking down in the water and there's some flowers floating in the water. And then some
what are
coffins.
Those things called?
Wreaths.
Okay. Maybe. I don't know. I figured there's a specific name for like the little flower things that,
yeah,
maybe they're just wreaths. I don't know.
And then there's some coffins floating too, and those get whacked by a Japanese destroyer or frigate. I didn't understand that, why these coffins were in the water.
I don't know, and I don't understand, because it's kind of mirrored at the end. It ends the same way it starts.
With the boy singing?
No, with the, instead of a coffin, it's the suitcase.
Oh, yeah. Okay.
And I don't know if that's supposed to mean something, but a couple things here. First of all, we are 105 movies in. First Spielberg film. So you yes. have a podcast dedicated to movies about the 80s. You basically ignore the filmography of probably the biggest director from the 80s for 2 years. Yes. And then you okay. pick probably the least known of his 80s films to be the one that you pick, which is a little bit interesting.
You know what? I wanted to pick this one several months ago, but we played a little game and you picked something else.
Right. And then so you talked about very few notes in IMDb. This movie, of all the movies we've done, of all of the podcasts we've done, I have the least amount of notes for this one over any movie ever. But of course, this could be just COVID brain, not really being able to put things down on paper. Because as I was going in and adding in your sound clips, there's things like, I'm missing a huge section here.
Oh, really?
And
yeah, when you sent me your clips and you only had two, I immediately texted you. I'm like, because I hadn't started watching the movie yet. I'm like, is it that bad?
Well, this is the least amount of sound clips we've had ever.
Oh,
I
mean, all right.
Going back to like the first podcast, I think. But okay. So you talked about the singing already.
Mm-hmm.
I had totally forgotten so much stuff about this. Until I did the Sound of the Week that we used with the Cadillac of the Sky part, I totally forgot right. this was a Christian Bale movie.
Okay.
And until I started watching it, I did not realize Ben Stiller was in it. I did not realize any of the recognizable people were in it. Like Malkovich?
Well, there's not many. There's not many recognizable people.
Well, Malkovich.
Well, yes. But I mean, it's not like it's not a murderer's row of recognizable people.
No, but you have three that, and actually Ben Stiller, I'm like, God damn, it looks like Ben Stiller. But I figured that had to be too early to actually be Ben Stiller.
He's had some work done, don't you think? Because
he had cancer.
He did?
Yeah.
I did not know that.
Yeah, I think he's my age. No, he can't be my age. He has to be older
than
me.
He's older.
He's in his 50s, I think.
Yes. Yeah. But it looks like he's had some jaw work and some teeth work done. Because he looks like a monk. He's like the monkey boy in Saturday Night Live.
Mm-hmm.
He plays Eddie Munster in Saturday Night Live, doesn't he?
Well, he actually, he did a bunch of like shorts for Saturday Night Live right around this time.
All right.
There's a really great one called The Hustle of Money, which is a combination of The Color of Money and The Hustler. But it is about bowling instead of pool, and he plays Tom Cruise's character. And I'm sure you've seen Ben Stiller do Tom Cruise before.
Yes, and then he had the Ben Stiller show also that was on.
Yeah, Few Good Scouts. Yeah.
All right.
Yeah.
All right, but we see the streets, and they certainly look British. And I don't know if this was filmed in Shanghai within the old British sector or if this was actually filmed in England, this part right here. But there's a bunch of limousines outside of this church that are being kept by Chinese chauffeurs.
Mm-hmm.
And we go into the church, and there's Christian Bale's character. I call him Jim throughout the entire movie.
Yeah.
His name is Jamie, but Malkovich gives him the name Jim. I just referred to him as Jim because that's what it was in the IMDb notes.
I don't know. Up until this point, he's just Bale. So we'll see when we get there in my notes.
All right. All right. But he's the soloist in this boys' choir, and they're all being watched by Chinese nannies. Cut to the limo. He's reading a comic book. It's obviously predates World War II, but it's still a military flying comic book. You never were into comic books, correct?
No, that was never my thing.
That was never your thing?
No.
Because I started off with like Sergeant Rock and G.I. Combat, and then there were a bunch of offshoots of those, of I think America at War and U.S. Soldiers, and most of them were World War II stories, and then once G.I. Joe hit, it was just like, drop everything. I'm dedicating my life to G.I. Joe. But he's at home, and mom is playing the piano, dad is playing golf in the backyard, Jim is riding.
You're missing something already.
Am I missing something? Yeah.
So what type of car was that? Do you know?
Was it a Rolls Royce?
I don't know, but I should. But I don't think it was a Rolls Royce because it has a very distinct hood ornament that comes into play much, much later. But it doesn't look like a Rolls Royce insignia. But
all right,
there's I make a cameo in this film where I'm on the corner banging a little thing, yelling at Christian Bale.
That comes up a little bit later in my notes.
Okay.
Yes, Matt's on the street begging for food. He's, can you get me a popcorn tub from the Marcus Theaters? All right, anything? Can I continue now?
Yeah, you can continue now.
All right, Dad's playing, chipping balls across the pool, and Jim is riding a bike around the pool, holding a toy airplane that's on fire.
Yes.
And it's cold there. Well, it's Christmas. It's December, because he's blowing. What do you call that when it's cold and you're blowing and you can see your breath?
I don't know. Your breath?
You can see his breath because it's so cold.
Okay.
And then Jim has this to say.
Why do you think he's going to win the war, Father?
Ours, of course.
Oh, that war.
Well, China isn't our war.
We're awfully lucky, aren't we? Living here and having everything.
Naughty, naughty.
You know, the funny thing is, the harder I work, the luckier we get.
I only meant lucky. Luckier than him.
That's me.
Yeah, you can hear Matt in the distance.
Yeah, he's luckier than some. Now, mine out the way. A chip across the water.
The Japanese will win. They've got better planes than the Chinese and braver pilots. I was thinking of joining the Japanese Air Force, actually.
And did you see what he was using as, the dad was using as, not so much a tee, but something to help him with his chips on his golf?
No.
He was using a coin.
A coin.
Because that coin comes into play later as well.
Yeah. But that evening, Jim goes into the fridge, and it is chock full of sweets and cakes and puddings. And he grabs something, and the nanny like tries to scold him. And he's like, listen, bitch, you work for me. You got to give me food.
That'll come back.
Yeah, yes, it will. But then he's watching his dad. His dad is listening to the radio, and they're talking about diplomatic relations breaking down. And his dad obviously does not have diplomatic immunity. And he's burning documents in the fire.
Right. And for the second time, we see the mom light a heater as she checks on Jamie. Because when she was playing piano, in my notes it said she's smoking a heater and she looks high.
Yeah, but yeah, she wakes him in the middle of the night by sitting on the edge of his bed and lights a heater in his bedroom. What the fuck?
It's 1940s, man.
I know, but
it's 1940s Shanghai.
But still, you don't just sit on the edge of your kid's bed and light up a heater, man.
You don't?
I mean, I'm pretty sure my mom smoked in the house when I was a kid. Pretty sure. But I think it was always like in the kitchen or in the living room, never in my bedroom, obviously.
Yeah, neither of my parents smoked. But, you know, I can think of other people in my neighborhood, Bob Jansen's parents both smoked. The other Bob's parents both smoked. The guy that did time, his parents both smoked. Got to come up with a nickname because that's what I've referred to him twice in the last couple podcasts. But almost everybody's parents smoked, and they smoked in the house. And now that's so weird. I mean, I even know people that smoke on the reg, and they still will, you know, at worst smoke in their garage.
Oh, it drives me crazy when I go into a customer's home and they're sitting at their kitchen table having a heater. And I'm thinking to myself, I'm going to have to go to my next customer and smelling like a cigarette. And they're going to have a poor image of me, like, ooh, he smokes. But I was at a dude's house just a couple weeks ago, and he has the sunroom, and I come walking up with the bill, and he waves me in, and I go in, and he starts writing out his check. But before he writes out a check, he lights up his heater. And I'm like, hey, man, just so you know, I'm going to go stand outside. You know, I'm sure I offended him, but it was like an 8x8 room.
Yeah.
And nope. It was just like, fuck, man. And it was a 100. He's probably going to smoke that whole thing while he's writing that check. He's going to take his time.
Yeah. You know, I just think of even places that are a little bit more, I don't want to say run down because that's not the right word, but you think about like up the Shangri-La, you know, I think at one point people did smoke in there, but
oh sure,
but
absolutely
not. I mean, never in, you know, the 2 decades or so that I've been going there.
We used to smoke like deer hunting. Mm-hmm. I mean, everybody smoked cigars and cigarettes, and the place, it just reeked, man. And finally I said to my dad one day, I'm like, you know, we shouldn't smoke in here anymore. And he's like, that's it. Okay. New rule. No smoking in the Shangri-La. So,
but I remember the first year that I think it was the first year. You'll say it was the second year where it rained.
That was the first year.
Okay. And, you know, almost everybody up there smoked. So everybody's huddled on that little porch area that's, you know,
yeah,
a foot wide and 3 feet, 1 foot by 3 foot, just kind of huddled so they can smoke. Or actually, yeah, I think a lot of us just stood out in the rain for like 5 hours.
It's that roof is much bigger than that.
Is it?
You can all fit. Yeah, you can all fit underneath there. But the next day, the driver is sleeping in the chauffeur, and he wakes up to the family coming out, and they're all in costume, and all of the help applaud. Yay, look, they look so wonderful. And they drive past the bum, clanking his cup on the ground, and mm-hmm. Jamie, or Jim, looks at him. And they're driving through Shanghai, and it almost, I don't know if it's
you're
just
missing
super
a huge
crowded
part that's important here.
What's that?
Jamie, or Jim, insisted that he wanted to take something with him to the party.
Oh, his glider.
And that's important because of what happens.
That was in my notes when his mom was lit up the heater on his bed, but we got sidetracked.
Okay. But even, you know, this is what, 5 minutes into this film, mm-hmm. You can already see flashes of Christian Bale actually being a potentially really good actor.
Sure.
I mean, because he was, I don't know, probably 10 or so when this movie came out, and he carries this film. I mean, he is the only one that's in basically every scene.
Yeah, because I mean, it's getting a good child actor is really difficult. I mean, you even see that in the Obi-Wan series with the little girl that plays Leia. Everybody's like, "Oh, she's so good." No, she's not. She's not that good.
She's precocious.
She's all right. She's okay, but she's not great. Christian Bale is great in this film.
Yeah, it's him.
I'm surprised he wasn't nominated for an actor.
But
for an Oscar.
What was the next thing he did? Because he disappeared for a long. No, actually, he did Newsies. I think like 2 years later.
Okay.
Newsies was the, not Newsies. Was it Newsies or was it the other one? What was the gangster film with kids where they're shooting like marshmallow guns?
I don't know. I know there's one that takes place in Germany where they're all like dancers and stuff, and one of the kids is a Jew.
Okay,
he
well,
could have been in that one, or maybe it was Newsies. I don't know.
Okay, but anyway, there's a bunch of people in the streets with Nazi armbands on.
Yeah, he sees the markets. There's British sailors with some whores. There's a nun. There's some kid begging, and he comes back to play in a little bit.
Mm-hmm. But there's a lot.
And they go through.
Sorry, there's a lot of juxtaposition of classes, or in the case of this, race and class, where you have this English group, which is almost like an aristocracy, and then you have the natives, if you will, finger quotes, the people that are native to that land that are just in poverty, and they're swarming mm-hmm. all these cars, and the police are just basically rushing these cars through, but
they got big canes. They're whacking people. They drove. I forgot. They drove past a wet market with some COVID bats hanging from a string. Did I say that out loud?
Too soon. Too soon.
But they go through a checkpoint that's at a bridge that this must be outside of the British territory, but it's the countryside, so some of the real higher-up British people are going to have big estates on their big properties.
Mm-hmm.
And we see all kinds of other people in cars that are costumed that are going to this party. And that's here we are in my notes is the police are clearing the road with giant canes for the privileged.
Yeah. What was it? Wasn't there the guy that got caned? You remember that? There's like a big controversy. Where,
for spitting gum in, on the ground in Singapore?
Something like that. But it was like, and he was supposed to get caned like 20 times and they walked it down to like 3, but still the guy got caned.
Yeah.
I mean, that was probably 20 years ago, but.
It might be. Yeah, I remember that. I'm pretty sure it's Singapore because Singapore, they, the jewel of the Orient, it's just like this pristine, clean city. But now we're at the party. And there's just a little bit of mild racism here.
I should have beeped this, but.
Out of Shanghai while you can.
Well, they've left us alone so far. Lockwood's invited a chink. Yes, well, I'm sorry about that. Look, don't mind him.
English humor?
Scottish whiskey. So, Mr. Chen, you think our days are numbered?
All our days are numbered, Mr. Graham, but ours higher than yours. You've been in Shanghai for over 100 years. Not a bad innings, but it's only an incident. As for the Japanese, 4 years, it's nothing.
Long enough for them to spoil your harvest and to steal what's left of it. There are 1 million Chinese peasants trying to get into Shanghai just to live on our rubbish.
The Japanese will get hungry too, and there are more of us. We have the guns, we have the planes, we are 500 million fighting back. We'll still be here after this war and the next.
Yeah,
I should have pulled the clip from Red Dawn. Aren't there 1 billion screaming Chinamen? half a billion screaming Chinamen.
But this guy is 100% right, and you know, history is on his side. But Jamie decides to go outside, and what is he doing outside?
Well, he's getting ready to fly his glider, but first he's talking to some dude, and this older dude is basically relying on Jamie for information about the war, and he's asking him questions. He's like, oh, you've resigned from Scouts, and I bet you didn't know this, that the Boy Scouts were originally a British club.
Was it spelled with a U?
No, but it transported here to the United States. I don't know if they still have it over in the UK or not, but and also that he's now an atheist.
Yeah. And we also find out that Jamie is a expert, if you will, on different types of planes.
Yes. Really loves those Japanese planes. He flies his glider. He sees a crashed Japanese plane and he gets in and pretends to chase the glider, which somehow stays afloat for like a minute and a half and keeps on buzzing him.
It's the world's best glider. That thing is.
I know.
It's you ever go to. You haven't been to you've been to Vegas.
Mm-hmm.
They have like the people on the streets that demo shit.
Oh yeah.
And sometimes they have like gliders or like little things that fly, and the way that they can get them to like go and come back and do loops, and then you buy one and you throw it and the thing just falls right into the ground. Never does anything.
We got one of these little things from the county fair that they have these rubber bands and they're like little whirly helicopters.
Sure.
And they're supposed to go like 50 feet in the air and then come back to you. Yeah, I can get them like 15 feet up and then they just go drop right to the ground.
Yeah, I could never get any of those wooden like balsa wood planes.
Right.
I throw them one time, they crash and they, you know, the wing would snap. It's like, fuck, that's $3 I'll never get back.
Exactly. Or the big styrofoam planes that get stuck in a tree.
Oh, yeah. Or they go into the neighbor's yard over the fence with the mean neighbor that you're afraid of, even though you've never seen them.
Right. Yes. And he pretends to shoot it. It goes over a berm. He goes running over the berm, and it's full of Japanese soldiers. And one of them comes up on the berm and kind of confronts him. His dad runs, and the other guy says, stand down, stand down. And more of the soldiers come up on the berm. And they're like, come on, Jamie, come on, come on, come slowly, come slowly. And they're waiting for something.
Right, they're waiting for the word, basically.
His dad and the other dude are talking.
Well, the old guy says, get the wife and the boy out.
Yeah. But then he says, they don't seem angry. And he goes, it's not anger, it's patience. So, and this is when the guy tells him to get his family out. Someplace safe. Go to Singapore, which was not a great idea because Singapore got run over by the Japanese too, and shortly after Pearl Harbor. And they ride back and they move from the house into a hotel.
Right. And there's at the hotel, everybody else is kind of all the other people in their group, if you will, all the diplomats are all kind of the same thing. They're all in this hotel now.
Yes. And Jim is in bed. Oh, go ahead.
No, but we see the harbor.
Yes.
And there's a bunch of, and I don't know what type, but there's a bunch of military boats coming in.
That's my boat.
And then Jim does something totally fucked up here.
Well, they're communicating with somebody on the shore with the light that and yes, Jim is signaling back with the flashlight, like Tom Cruise in Castaway with his flashlight.
Tom Cruise in Castaway? Oh,
yes, Tom Cruise in Castaway with his ball Spalding.
Okay.
I'm sorry, it was Castaway Part 2, The Return with Tom Cruise.
Maverick? But don't poke the bear, son. You know, you have to have a little bit of situational awareness that there's a military operation. You're kind of in harm's way right now. So don't be signaling right. The military because you think it's fun.
Yes, but the explosions start. His dad comes in and he's like, I didn't mean to. And now we have this mass exodus from the hotel. Jim looks out the window and he sees just pure chaos. He sees the Japanese. He's seeing the Chinese rebels on the roofs. There's this huge crowd on the ground and they are just all pushing and shoving. It's like a human wave, tidal wave. And they're trying to get to their car. The chauffeur is like, come on, come on, come on. And they get into the car and it's barely moving. It's like they would have been better on the ground.
Right.
And this is a very tense moment, but then they get rammed by a tank and they get out and they get completely separated. Mom, he's got his mom's hand and they just get separated. He hops up in a car trying to look for them.
And there's aircraft coming in, but a question here, you mentioned how the tank rammed the car.
Mm-hmm.
And we see the car later. Didn't the tank actually roll up onto the car?
I don't know because you're right. We'll get to that when later. I didn't even think of that.
I didn't either until I got to that part in my notes, because in my notes it says it gets rammed by a tank, which starts to roll over it, which would imply that there was some kind of, you know, damage done to it. But
sure,
that other than time, the car that's in the stadium seems fairly pristine.
Right. Yeah, you're right. But he looks up, he sees lots of airplanes. He drops his toy plane.
And then you want me to make a really obscure reference here?
Sure.
And then he drops his plane and the guy who slapped Chris Rock drags him away anyway. So.
Okay.
7 pounds or 7 ounces, whatever the one that he's in where it's about the soul and he has a son.
Oh, yeah.
And his son's got like the stupid little doll that they drop in a crowd. Same thing. But anyway, she yells for him go home.
Mm-hmm.
And so, but the army is there and people are pretending to fire from the rooftops that obviously are not. I don't know if that is like a movie thing or if they were actually pretending in the movie. I don't know. Just my note says people are pretending to fire from the rooftops.
Pretending to fire?
Yes.
I don't know. It sure looked like they were firing to me.
Okay.
But he's caught in the middle of this whole thing. He walks home. There's no one there. There's a sign on the house that says it's the property of the Japanese. He's calling for his mom. As Matt would say, the refrigerator has been raided.
Yeah, and I am no longer there. I left. My box is still there that I was banging on the ground, yes. But I am no longer there.
Right. He goes up into his mom's room, and he sees her powder, like makeup, on the floor.
Did she have a big bowl of cocaine?
I mean, you can see like claw marks and stuff. Obviously, somebody has been raped here.
Well, there's footprints and handprints and boot prints and other prints in there.
Yeah. Yes. It's my thought was somebody got raped right here, whether it was his mom or who knows. I don't know. But he sees the servants and they're grabbing shit at the nanny, and the nanny walks right up. He's like, you can't do that. And she walks right up to him and smacks him one.
Yep. Well, that's a payback because he was just an insolent little shit to her earlier.
Yes.
But now they're kind of like, hey, you're not in charge anymore.
Right. right? But he sits at the table and eats his meal with, you know, all the utensils laid out, tablecloth, candle. I mean, total proper etiquette, because this is all he knows. He's only ever known a life of privilege. But time is passing.
And how do we know that time is passing?
The
clock stops ticking.
Oh, it does. Okay, I didn't catch that. I was thinking because there's all kinds of empty cans on the table.
But and there's a question of how much time has passed, because, as you said, there are empty cans, but now there's no water.
Mm-hmm.
And he's playing with his dad's pipe. And he gets into, I'm assuming it's candy alcohol. Like, you remember those little chocolate liqueurs?
With little liqueur inside of the chocolate shell.
Right.
Shaped like a bottle. Yeah. And then he's riding his bike around in the house. But what we are seeing is we're seeing the pool level go down over time.
Yeah, the pool is almost totally dry. It has to have been days.
Yeah, more than that. Well, more than that.
Days.
Days.
It's very hot there. It evaporates the pool in days.
Right, in January and February. But he's obviously running out of food. He goes out to the street, and there's a truck that goes by that has British nationals in there. And they're like, come on, come on. And he's trying to catch up on the bike, and he can't make it.
Yeah, and then he rides into town. But before that, there's a couple things about the pool.
Mm-hmm. There's golf balls.
Golf balls?
Yes.
Glasses. Sunglasses. And then also he retrieves the coin. The coin that his dad was using before.
All right.
So then, as you said, he rides into town. But this is a kid who has lived a life of privilege. He's used to somebody giving everything to him, taking care of him. He's not used to doing anything on his own.
Mm-hmm.
And I thought he was English, but apparently he's not. He's French.
No, because he goes to surrender.
Yeah, he goes up to a bunch of soldiers and surrenders.
Yes. And he gets mocked. They're mocking him because he's like, I surrender. And they're like, I surrender. I surrender. And then there's a big group of them being filmed of them going, Banzai, like holding up their arms. Because that's what the Japs did. Oh, Jap. Can't say Japs, but that's pretty much how I have it in my notes, so I didn't have to type out Japanese. But that's how there's tons of black and white photo of groups of Japanese soldiers going, Banzai!
Yeah, and you've seen the South Park movie, right?
No.
Okay, never mind that.
I never got into South Park.
But there is a giant Gone with the Wind. Would you call it a poster, or it's just a mural on the side of a building? But it
I'm
is
not sure.
Gigantic.
Yeah, it's big. It's big. And he sees the beggar kid from before when he was in his car, and the kid's like, English boy, and then a big foot chase ensues.
What does he say to him? What does he say to Jim?
I don't know.
No mama, no dada, no whiskey soda.
Okay.
And I don't know what that last part means.
No, I don't either.
But yeah, and then Jamie starts to run away, and the other guy is following.
Yes, he tries to surrender again. He drops his bike, and it immediately gets taken away from somebody like in the that comes out of the doorway in the alley and takes it. And then a very, very Spielberg-y thing with there's all the rickshaws on the street, and they're like playing Frogger on the rickshaws.
They go past the club Obi-Wan, yeah.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Yes. And then there's another convoy of Japanese trucks, and again, he's trying to surrender. He's running. He's yelling, help me, help me. This kid catches him and starts whooping his ass and steals his shoes.
Yes.
And he runs in the road, and who almost hits him? Who almost runs him over?
Joey Pants.
Yes. What's Joey Pants' name in this movie?
Not a clue.
Either do I. Just have him as Joey Pants.
Yeah. No. The kid steals his shoes. It reminded me of the other guys.
Okay.
Because every time that they get captured, they take their shoes.
Oh, do they?
Yeah. Who does that?
Yeah.
But Joey Pants, oh, the other kid comes out, sees Joey Pants and runs, and Jamie is just kind of prattling on about how important his parents are or were, which is probably not the smartest thing to be saying in his particular case.
No, but the whole ride back, he's prattling on. I mean, if you think about it, he probably hasn't talked to anybody for weeks.
Right.
So he's got a lot of words that he needs to share. And he takes them to the ship that's in the harbor, and there's a dude that's cooking some rat meat and rice, or cat meat and rice.
Okay.
I mean, it's probably some sort of exotic meat that they caught. Jim nearly passes out as he gets there. And the dude that is cooking, we never really see his eyes for quite some time.
Mm-hmm.
Again, another very Spielberg-y thing. He makes a comment that he's got good teeth, which is surprising because most British people don't have good teeth.
Okay.
Like Austin Powers. I get it. I've got bad teeth.
Yeah.
Comments on his school because he's wearing his school jacket.
Yep.
Finds his sunglasses, takes those. Frank. That's Joey Pants' name. Frank. This other guy, Basie, talks about keeping them there, but Frank is bitching because there's not enough food for the three of them. And this is when Basie, played by John Malkovich, gives him his new name, Jim, because he needs a new name for a new life.
Well, in my notes, it's like, is that Malkovich? Because I did not know coming in that Malkovich was in it. And it's like, holy shit, there's Joey Pants. And then, holy shit, there's Malkovich.
Yeah, yeah. He plates up some food for Jim. Jim scarfs it down and immediately falls asleep. And then I think Frank asks him, wonder if he's got any gold teeth. But the next day, they take him to some dude. They're looking to sell this kid, aren't they?
Yeah, but they've given him shoes.
Okay.
And the shoes do not fit. And shoes becomes kind of a recurring motif for Jim for the rest of this film. Yeah, and my notes says, Malkovich is trying to sell him?
Yeah, but nobody wants him. And he gives him his coin back, and he's basically going to abandon him. But Jim is desperate.
Well, he says, hey, I know where all the rich houses are. I know where, because they were mine. I can show you this stuff. And I think he says opulent, and I think it's Malkovich actually comments about opulent. Wow, good
Jim,
word. Yeah.
Jim, opulent. That's a big word. And they drive to the old neighborhood, and Jim is giving the inventory of each house. What's the common thing in each house, though?
I don't know.
Whiskey and gin.
Okay.
They pull up to his house. There's lights on. He hears a piano, and Jim's like, mother. But no, it's like a bunch of Japanese making a gay porno.
Yes. Gets to the door, bunch of gay men.
Yes, in white robes. They might have been doing karate or...
Kung That's just to limber
or
up.
Something. Sure. But the truck can't go in reverse, so they have to go forward. And the Japanese guys swarm the truck, pull them out, and
they kick the crap out of them.
Out of Basie. But now we're in an old warehouse, and Jim has a fever, and everybody is doing what Matt was doing early on in the movie. They're all banging their cups because they want food.
And did you recognize the guy that is putting the cold compress on Jim?
No.
He is the Santa Claus guy from the party.
Oh, is he?
Yep.
Okay.
But Jim has finally found his way to surrender. And then as they get food, he drops his potato and he tries to get another one. Yeah, it doesn't work out for him.
It's, well, some kid, yeah. It's basically some brothy water and a old moldy potato that they get. Yeah, he drops it. Some kid steals it. He goes back, and he's like, may I have more, sir? What's that from? Oliver?
Christmas Carol?
I think it's Oliver.
No, I think that's the crippled kid from A Christmas Story. Not Christmas Story. Christmas Carol. The Christmas Story. Kid. It's the thing with the leg. No, it's from Christmas
Carol.
We
are so getting canceled for saying Japs and crippled.
Well, I was going to cut the first part.
No, the crippled kid says, God bless us, everyone. No, may I have more, sir, is from Oliver.
The kid that wrecked the Brady Bunch?
Yes.
Do you even know what I'm talking about?
Oliver from the Brady Bunch, the moppy head kid with the glasses.
Yeah, exactly. That's good.
They brought him in to save the show.
Can you not say cripple? Is cripple not PC?
You can't say spaz anymore.
Really?
Really, you cannot say spaz anymore.
So what happens when they play meatballs? Is it meatballs on TV? Because there's the one character named Spaz in Meatballs, and they're chanting Spaz, Spaz. Do they just
I'm willing to bet that Meatballs will probably never get played on TV again.
It's not that good.
I've never seen it. It's got Bill Murray, right?
Yes.
Okay, never seen it. Let's see. Where were we? There's an old dude brushing some old bag's hair who's dead.
Oh, and there's kids. You're missing your clip here because Basie is there. And this is where I think you have your first Basie clip.
No. There's a few more things before we get to that.
Yeah, but you're right. But he steals the dinner pail of somebody that died, some old bag that died. Yeah, she died, but she didn't turn in her dinner plate. So Basie grabs that. And he's teaching Jamie how to hustle.
Well, hold on. You're still skipping stuff, man.
Okay.
There's some rich chick, Miranda Richardson. She's putting on lipstick, and she bitches at her husband for forgetting the cutlery.
Isn't that Jim's mom?
No.
Oh, no. That she's the object of lust. You're right. I'm sorry.
Yes. Jim brings Basie some water, and this is now my clip.
Can't drink water from the water butt. There are people dying here of dysentery. We can drink boiled water.
Many thanks, Basie.
You're welcome, Jim. You've got nice manners. I appreciate that. Jim, now it's chow time. Come on, you gotta get in line. Keep the ball in play, light on your toes, first in line. I think your father would agree with
you. Actually, Basie, he would agree with you. After the war, you teach him how to game of tennis sometime. He's really good.
Now, I want you to get Mrs. Partridge's potato while you're up there.
I think she died, Basie.
She died, Jim, but she didn't hand in her dinner pail.
You know who would have been a good choice to play Basie besides Malkovich?
Jack Nicholson?
Walken.
Oh, yeah.
So just saying.
Don't forget to get her potato.
But and actually, in addition to the potato, what does Basie get from the dead lady?
Her shoes. Well, hold on a second. There's some kids that are standing over their dead mom, and then Basie comes over and comforts her, and as he takes them away. No, that's right. We see Jim stealing a bowl from a dead guy. He kind of sneaks up on him and then takes the bowl and runs off. And now Jim finds Basie, and yes, he's looting this dead chick's body for her shoes. And he's like, oh, it looks like her shoes will fit you. I don't. And he starts freaking out, which I would be freaking out too if somebody wanted to put some shoes on me that were just on a dead lady.
So I remember when my grandfather died. My grandmother gave me like a couple pairs of his like deck shoes or something.
Okay.
And you know, I'm going to be gracious. I'm not going to say, thanks, but no thanks.
Right.
But I took them home and I said to my mom, maybe this makes me a bad person. I don't want them. You have a thing about shoes, about wearing other people's shoes.
That's gross, man.
I don't have a problem with that.
It's like having dairy out of somebody else's refrigerator. I just don't want to do it, man. I got a bad feeling about dairy coming from somebody else's refrigerator other than mine.
Okay, that's a new one. I've never heard that one before.
I don't know what that. I don't know what that. What, especially milk?
Oh my god!
What do 50% of the people do with the milk jug in their own refrigerator?
Dip their cock in it.
Well, then I might drink it. No, they drink directly from the jug.
Okay. This is really bad, but I remembered I forgot something from What's Going On.
Okay. Oh boy.
And this relates to you.
All right.
So bear with me. This is not a bad story.
All right. Is it a long story?
No, it's very short.
Okay.
I had a dream that your wife was
in. Oh. Oh my.
And
did she have a penis?
No. But I've met your wife maybe a half dozen times.
Uh-huh.
Not a whole ton of times. And in this dream, your wife was telling you that she did not like me.
Okay.
And the reason she didn't like me is because she thought I was going to fuck her friend.
Okay.
Spoiler alert. I fucked her friend.
In the dream.
Yes, in the dream.
All right.
But
wasn't there an incident with my wife's bitchy friend?
Yeah, the one that wouldn't suck cock, yeah.
Oh, okay, yeah.
That was at your place in Heartland.
Right. Yeah.
Yeah.
I've seen pictures of her on Facebook. She's hot.
Is she?
Anyway, yeah, I'm pretty sure.
Oh,
yeah,
it's too bad.
But they call for a truck, and they realize that basically this place is a place to see if you're going to die. Because if you're healthy, then yes, we're going to take you to a camp because you'll be useful. But if you're not going to make it, we don't want to spend any more resources on you. So they all go outside, and the Japanese are picking who goes, kind of like in Schindler's List, where the girls are pricking their fingers to get blood to rub it on their cheeks to give them a more rosy complexion to make them look healthier.
Never saw Schindler's List.
You've never seen Schindler's List?
No.
Okay, we're not doing that one for my non-80s war movie. It's long. It's really long. My son keeps telling me he wants to watch Schindler's List. I'm like, man.
Qui-Gon takes a turn differently in that film. Anyway, go ahead.
Yeah. There's a lot of nudity in that film.
Is it hot?
Some of it is. Yeah, some of it's hot. Some of it is. Most of it's disturbing.
Right. Okay. Right.
But the Japanese are picking who goes. They pick Basie and not Jim. And Basie just completely buddy fucks Jim and ignores him.
Yeah, he ignores him completely.
Right. And Basie gets in the truck with the two kids that he was comforting before. And he's like, hey, kids, want to see a magic trick?
Makes the pencil disappear.
Yes. But Jim, the Japanese soldiers are arguing about which way to go. And Jim says, I know that way. It's where my parents' country club is. And they toss him in the back, but he gashes his head pretty good because he's like, I don't even know where they're going. It's, let's just call it Kung Pao Chicken Base.
Well, it's like, a camp Pao next to an airfield.
And his blood is just running down his forehead. But they're driving to the camp. We drive past a bunch of Chinese people digging salt. Not sure what they're doing. I'm pretty sure that's salt.
It's the salt mines of Kessel.
Yes. There's a dude. Salt mines of Kessel. Haha. There's a dude that's wearing some fancy golf shoes, and Basie really wants them. He wants to trade them. I'm not sure what it was that he wanted to trade them.
Have you ever walked around in golf shoes, like on anything that's not grass?
Maybe.
It sucks.
Does it?
Yeah. If there are spikes, which those are, they're terrible. Unless you're on grass, golf spikes are terrible.
Okay.
But they get off the truck and they're being handed rocks as they get off the truck.
Well, hold on a second.
Yeah.
We're introduced to the doctor. Basie lies to the doctor and says that he's watching Jim for his father, and then also tells him that he's a member of the Chinese resistance. Which is bullshit.
Yeah.
But yeah, they get to the camp. There's an airfield. They get off the truck. And immediately Japanese soldiers come up and start giving them rocks to carry. And the doctor's like, fuck off. I'm not carrying these rocks. And he gets a rifle butt to the shoulder.
Yes.
Hard. Yeah. Basie falls in line. He's like, I'll carry your rocks. And he goes up the hill from this truck. And there are literally thousands of extras.
Yeah. Yeah. just let me read here because it's almost verbatim what you just said. They go up a hill. Jesus, there are thousands of people. And yes. Jamie sees a zero. I'm assuming that's a zero up close and is admiring it.
Well, did you see the giant roller that they were pushing? This giant like roller that was 10 feet tall that people are put to crush the rocks for this airfield?
No.
Mm. All right. But yes, Jim sees the plane. There's sparks everywhere. He goes to touch it. And he gets yelled at. There's a guard that chambers around in his rifle. And is it three pilots?
I don't know. I think so because the pilots show up. But I don't even know how many it is. It's probably three because that's what it is later as well. And, yes. And Japanese are very consistent with like ceremony. So that would make sense.
Yes. So he salutes them. They salute back. I've got now in my notes months, maybe years later.
I have the next day.
The next day?
He's running around with a toy plane, but he got a haircut.
A bad haircut.
And it's like, wait, actually, that isn't Jamie. That's some other kid, but he has a Japanese jacket.
Oh, yeah, no, that's a Japanese kid. Yes, Jim is watching, but Jim has a flying tiger jacket on and a shitty haircut. That's what it says in my notes. The kid, the Japanese kid, throws the glider over the fence, and Jim throws it back. And now Jim goes through this whole thing where he's trading heaters for vegetables. This is where we find out that it's 1945. So
it's four years later. Right.
Three and a half, basically. Trades some gum for some shined shoes, takes those shined shoes to the Japanese officer, steals a bar of soap, runs. There's some kids playing a marble game. He comes in, wins, takes all the marbles. Girl that they're that's playing says that he's cheating, even though pretty much looked like he won fair and square.
Right. He goes to the hospital.
Yeah. And there's a doctor doing the doctor that we saw before that got shoulder butted, is doing CPR. He has Jim take over and he does the match trick where he holds the blown out match
to see if there's any breath match there.
Yes. Yeah. As Jim is doing the CPR, this part kind of freaked me out as a kid, and it freaked me out here, too. Her eyes move and look at him.
Well, that's why they sew eyes shut of corpses.
Yeah.
Because as, like, the body, I guess, dries, if you will, the eyes will open.
Mm-hmm.
But this whole thing, this camp, it's a little town. It has its own infrastructure. It has its own kind of hierarchy of these are the people that do this. These are the people that do that. And we find out that the guy with the golf shoes, which 4 years later, you know,
they
how
still
good
look pretty good.
Yeah. I mean, my shoes are 6 months old.
Uh huh.
And you know, New Balance don't last forever. So the fact that these shoes look still pristine, but the guy with golf shoes is dying. And I think you have a clip here about Jim talking to the doctor.
Yeah, the doctor is educating Jim. And I don't know if it was before that he asked why the Japanese closed down our school and it was to punish them. But yeah, then Jim interjects with this.
We have to beat them.
Who?
Japanese. It's how we'll win. They're refusing to die.
What will happen when the war ends?
You want the war to end?
Yes, of course, but as long as we stay in the camps, the Japanese will look after us, won't they?
I don't know. We've become an embarrassment to them. And they can't feed us much longer.
If the Americans land, the Japanese will fight.
You admire the Japanese?
Well, they're brave, aren't they?
And that's important, is it, Jim?
It's a good thing if you want to win a war.
No, we don't want them to win, do we?
No, I know.
Remember, we're British.
Yes. I've never been there.
Put that down.
And I don't know why, but in my notes it says that he's learning Latin.
Yeah.
And he does actually mumble a little bit in Latin in one of the two clips I have.
But okay.
The fact that he's never been to England, you know, and he is English by birth, that is... I guess it's probably not atypical for somebody that is the offspring of a diplomat. But for him to be think about, he was how old when this whole thing started? 10 years old?
Yeah. He's been institutionalized, like Brooks from The Shawshank Redemption.
But wouldn't even a diplomat over the course of 10 years go back to England at some point
for maybe
a holiday or something?
It's possible. Sure. It's possible. But the doctor sees the tomatoes, and Jim explains that he has to, every time he goes to see Basie, he has to bring him something. And the doctor says, it's good that you're friends with him because he's a survivor. Now Jim goes to the airman barracks, and there's dudes playing baseball. There's a dude chasing a British chick. And this is not a bad situation for these American pilots.
Oh, yeah. I mean,
compared to what it could be, because they're not doing half bad, and they've got some trim to chase.
Mm-hmm.
There's a dude playing a harmonica. Joey Pants is standing guard outside of Basie's room, and he won't let him through. And then we see Ben Stiller.
Young Ben Stiller, yes.
Yes. I have another clip right here, but I can't remember what it is for.
Well, so Basie has tons of shit in his room, and then Jim and Basie talk about airplanes.
It's all right, Jim. You're almost one of us. Did you see that Mustang yesterday?
It's the Cadillac of the sky, Basie.
That's right. B-20 soon. B-29s, too.
B-29s?
Yep. The Super Fortress, what we call a hemisphere defense weapon.
Where from?
Okinawa, Philippines. Tokyo is in bombing range now.
Tokyo?
Good time to think of going home soon.
We'll have to leave the camp.
That's the idea, Jim. First one side feeds you and the other side tries to get you killed and then it's turned around. It's all timing.
Will you tell me when it's time?
Sure.
Promise?
Promise.
It'd be simpler if I was living here.
You've got the British men's dorm to go to when Mr. and Mrs. get sick of you.
They are sick of me, Basie, but the British dormitory is so lethargic.
But you nailed it when you said that he's like the guy from Shawshank and he's institutionalized. This is his normal.
Right. Yeah, he probably barely remembers his old life. But Basie was talking about the B-29s coming from Okinawa or the Philippines. Actually, they were coming from the Mariana Island chain. And
didn't they launch off a carrier?
The B-29s?
No, wasn't it the
the B-25s launched off the Doolittle raid.
The Doolittle raid is the one I'm talking about.
Yes, with Ben Affleck.
And the guy who shot the poor woman in the face, yeah.
The guy, and who's the other dude? Who's the other dude in Pearl Harbor?
Oh, the one who was in the, 40 Days, 40 Nights? No, that's the Harrison Ford film. He's in the one where he can't have sex or jerk off for 40 days.
Yeah.
I can't remember his name.
I can't think of his name either.
Have you seen that movie?
No, I have not.
Oh, it's actually pretty good.
Is it?
Yeah.
Okay.
But they're talking about pheasant for Thanksgiving.
Mm-hmm.
And the thing is, if you remember, and I'm sure you do, when you think about Victory, for example, which is another film that has a component of it that takes place in a prison camp, not a concentration camp, but a prison camp. And there is definitely a hierarchy. And I mentioned it earlier, but there is, it's almost its own little microcosm of a world where you have social strata, you have commerce, you have all this stuff that just kind of springs up on its own out of need.
Right. And yeah, I would much rather be in a German prisoner camp than Japanese. This does not give, I think, a proper representation of a Japanese prison camp because they were brutal, man. Unbroken. I read the book and then I watched the movie.
Was that the one that was done by Angelina Jolie?
Yes. Yeah. And the guards in that movie, in that book represented are just sadistic motherfuckers. But yeah, there's pheasants. They're talking about a pheasant trap. They want to get pheasant meat for Thanksgiving.
Josh Hartnett.
There you go. But they have to go outside the wire to catch these pheasants. Is he talking about Thanksgiving?
Yeah, he's talking about Thanksgiving because they specifically talk about there's pheasants outside the fence and they want them for Thanksgiving. And
this is 1945. The war ended in August of 1945, so Basie's really planning ahead, I guess.
Either that, or they have a really good deep freeze.
Yeah, yeah.
Because I don't think Pheasant is going to still be good. What, 2.5-3 months later?
Well, I mean, if you dry it in the sun and make pheasant jerky, maybe it would be. But the chow truck comes, and they find out that their rations have been cut in half.
Right.
And chaos ensues. But Jim goes to the dorm where he's living with the...
The doctor.
Nah, it's not the doctor. It's the married couple from the warehouse.
And Miranda Richardson is the woman.
Yes. And Jim is counting the weevils in his potato soup.
Yes.
And...
His little Excel spreadsheet of...
Yeah, then he tracks them. And then he eats them, which I... Good for him. It's good protein. If you had to eat insects to survive, would you?
Yeah, absolutely.
Okay. What if the government said, okay, there's a food shortage. No chicken and meat on Tuesdays and Thursdays. You've got to have this government ration of freeze-dried insects. Or let's say... Hey, we've discovered a way that we can take ants and turn them into flour for your bread.
Mm-hmm.
Would you?
Absolutely.
All right.
But okay. Jim is kind of pervin a little bit.
Yeah, a little bit?
Yeah. Well, he's...
No, not yet. Oh, yeah. Well, they're tired of his questions. They've had it with Jim. They're watching over this kid that's not theirs. And... They want him to move out to the single men's dorm. And then, yes, that night, he's watching the chick and the dude is making a move on her.
Uh-huh.
And then he's also watching the air raid.
No, you lived in the dorms for one semester?
One year. Yeah.
And you were at UWM, so you had a suite. Right?
Right.
But you still had a roommate.
I had a roommate, yes.
So did you ever have to do you got a woman in your room and, you know, stuff's going on and your roommate's still there, or did you have that worked out?
The dude that I roomed with the first semester was a holy roller. And I screwed around with some chicks while he was there. And then the next semester, another guy moved in. And he would, like, literally roll in at, like, midnight with a chick. And he's like, dude, you got to leave. I'm like, I'm not fucking leaving. You go find someplace else to fuck. That was a bad situation. Because he was kind of a dick. I was friends with him, but as soon as he moved in, he turned into an asshole. I'm like, oh, man. This was a mistake.
Mm-hmm.
So.
But, yeah, as Jim is watching, he's watching both the battle in the air and then the battle in the woman's pants at the same time. And it's a weird sex scene, if you can even call it a sex scene.
I would just have to think that it's like everything down below for both of them is just so nasty and dirty and probably full of lice and ugh. I don't know, man.
Well, I mean, people had sex in the Middle Ages.
I suppose, but there's like no, you know, Massengill's Summer's Eve in that prison camp, I'm sure.
Well,
she couldn't go take a shower.
Yeah, but I mean, horsey chick. I mean, you deal with stuff.
Yeah, you deal with it, I guess.
But yeah, Jim makes eye contact with the guy and gets to see his vinegar strokes.
But a B-29 flies low overhead and it's crashing, but it drops some bombs to loosen the weight. And the Japanese are very upset about this. So they take it out on
the camp prisoners.
By breaking all the windows in the hospital.
And the doctor is getting ready to stand his ground.
Yeah.
And a guy is about to bust the hospital windows, and the doctor gets his ass kicked. But then Jim runs in, and in an absolute genius move, does what?
He busts a window.
Yeah, picks up a chair and busts a window and says something in Japanese, and then the Japanese soldier stops.
Yeah. He's like the sergeant. This is, we never see like the camp commandant. This is basically just kind of like a sergeant, like an enforcer.
I should have asked my neighbor that's Japanese how to say, I know nothing in Japanese.
But the doc is appreciative of Jim. What does he give him?
He gives him the dead guy's golf shoes.
Yes. Yeah. But then the Chinese see their move and they raid the garden.
Right.
But they go across the wire and one of them gets blown up. And Basie and Ben Stiller discuss whether it was a landmine or a hand grenade.
Mm-hmm.
Basie's convinced that it was a hand grenade. No, there's no mines out there. The next day, they send Jim out to set the traps. I mean, Basie's a real cocksucker.
Well, you know, Jim is at best a tool for Basie.
Yes.
He does not give a shit about him at all. But Jamie is wearing golf shoes and carrying firewood as kind of his ruse for him to be out by the fence. And then he's going to set the traps for the pheasants. And he goes under the wire into muddy water. And, you know, what little I know about waterborne pathogens, probably not the best place to be.
You don't want to pee because organisms will swim up your urethra and attach in there. And that's not good.
But wouldn't he have wanted to take his heavy jacket off?
I was kind of thinking the same thing.
Yeah, I mean, he took his shoes off, but not his jacket.
Not his heavy leather jacket. The sergeant that we saw before that was about to break the windows in the hospital suspects something because he finds the golf shoes. So he goes in. So obviously, there's no, if that dude's willing to go in,
it's not mine.
It's not mine. And there, he's about to be caught. All kinds of betting is being made, but Basie is betting on the kid. The Japanese kid with the glider from earlier distracts the sergeant.
And a lot of people are, at first it's just Basie and Dainty Stiller. And Joey Pants. But then eventually it's a shitload of people that are betting on it. It's a lot of people. But the guard basically steps right over Jim.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And that's when the glider kid kind of saves him.
Mm-hmm.
And then they salute each other.
They salute each other. But now Jim, covered in mud, moves into the aviator barracks.
Right.
And as he's filing past everybody, they salute him. Joey Pants has to move his shit out because Jim is getting his bunk.
Yep.
And now we see the glider boy being taught in a, I don't know, like a mock-up of a cockpit how to fly. He's basically being taught how to fly. I'm willing to bet he's not being taught how to
land. Yeah. Fly? Yes. Land? No.
Right.
But Basie says, don't let me down, kid. You're an American now. And Jamie is walking around smoking a cigar.
Uh-huh.
And Basie has a compass and a map. And how did he get the compass?
He magnetized a needle, a sewing needle, and put it on a cork.
Right.
It's funny. You want to hear a funny story? Well, sure. You're going to hear it regardless. We go to this church, and the church that we go to, a pastor, like an associate pastor, and her husband, she quit. We used to go to this church, and she was an associate pastor there, and now she attends the church that we go to. And when we first went there and saw her, it's like, oh my gosh, you know, lots of hugs. And I brought Johnny over and I go, Johnny, this is the lady who baptized you. And he was like 3, maybe 4. And then that night we're sitting around the dinner table and he's like, daddy, tell me about the lady who magnetized me. So that's a Johnny story. Oh shit. I just had my kid's name.
Yeah.
Well, fuck it.
But Japanese guy has shown up and they're playing chess. As they realize the Japanese people are, or Japanese guards are coming in, they kind of cover everything up and they throw a chessboard over it. Mm-hmm. And the guard comes in, he knocks the chessboard over and he's admiring the straight razor and the shaving cream that Basie has. And then Basie just gets the shit kicked out of him.
Well, he looks in the cup with the shaving cup and he sees the bar of soap that has a Japanese symbol on it. So he recognizes that that bar of soap was stolen from their supply.
Is then, soap for you, do you use like bar soap or liquid soap?
I use a bar.
Now, is that your bar of soap or is that
yes.
your, oh, no. So the missus doesn't use your bar of soap?
No, she's not going to use my my men's deodorant soap.
Well, it could just be Dove.
Yeah, I have a bar of soap. We both use the same shampoo, but I have a bar of soap and a razor.
Why do you have shampoo?
Like, fuck off. I have wash some
your
hair.
Pubes.
I have some hair that I have to wash. But she's got like 47 things in there in the shower that she uses.
Oh, so. Tell me more.
But as he's getting his ass kicked, Basie tells Jim that he's in charge of his stuff.
Right.
So now he's in the hospital. We forgot to discuss this.
The mosquito net?
The mosquito net. Yeah, because I didn't write it down earlier. Because
I didn't either, but I know exactly what you're talking about.
But because I didn't think it was significant that somebody who is dying gets the mosquito net over them.
Yeah.
And Basie basically gets the mosquito net.
And so Jim thinks that, oh, fuck, Basie's going to die.
Yes. And he tells Jim of the escape plans. And then he goes, why are you here? And he says, sorry, Basie, they were bigger than me. And now we're in the barracks.
But Basie's you brought up the net and you didn't actually say what Basie said about it, though.
No, what did he say about the net?
He said he bribed a doctor for the net. So it's not like normal where it means that he's the next to die.
Okay.
He got it because he bribed. Have you ever dated a girl that had like a mosquito net?
No.
So
like over her bed?
Yeah.
Okay. Tell me more.
So I was living in Ohio and I was back for work. You know, I'd come back once a month and I was hanging out with the people I used to work with at Channel 6. And I was at one of the bars on Water Street and I was walking back and I was staying at my parents' house in Sussex. And I'm walking back with, we leave the bar, a bunch of us leave the bar and I'm walking back with this girl I used to work with.
Mm-hmm.
And we get to her car and she said, well, do you want a ride to your car? And my car was literally 15 feet from where her car was.
Okay.
And I said, my car's right there.
Okay.
And then she said, you sure you don't want to ride? So she had, and I'm like, what are you saying? She's like, well, do you want a snog?
Nice.
Like, what are you, British? But yeah, she had a mosquito net, which I could not get past the fact that she had a mosquito net in downtown Milwaukee.
Okay.
It's not like there's a big malaria, you know, problem in Milwaukee.
Right.
It was just weird. Anyway.
A little weird. Yes.
But Basie is now basically homeless.
He's not homeless. He just doesn't have any of his shit. His shit has all been taken.
Right. I mean, he lost all of his standing.
Yes. Yeah. Okay. Yeah. But then the next morning, the three pilots, well, I don't know. I mean, this is 4 years later. I can't imagine that these are the same three pilots.
No.
That we saw earlier on, but it's three pilots and they are going through the kamikaze ritual where they've got the headband on and there's some incense burning and they're, you know, doing shots of sake. They sing.
Jamie starts singing. Yeah.
Yes. He starts singing. The camp kind of stops. Everything stops. And the sergeant, the mean sergeant, gets kind of choked up. And they start taking off. And as one takes off, what happens to it?
It blows up.
There's some P-51s that come in for a strafing run. I don't know where they came from. They must have come from like Okinawa or they're not carrier based planes.
No.
So they must have come from Okinawa. That or they were doing a bombing run. A B-29 bomb. They were escorting some B-29s. Although at this point in the war, the B-29s were doing firebombing. So the B-29, this was like the first bomber that could be in the upper atmosphere, and they were on pressurized cabins, whereas like the B-17s and the B-24s were, everything was open and you had to be on oxygen.
Right.
And they tried doing these high altitude bombing runs, but the what's the stream, the airstream, the
jet stream
was too strong and the bombs were going everywhere.
Right.
So history lesson here, Curtis LeMay, a general in the Air Corps, said, okay, well, hey, why don't we just load up the planes with these sticks of napalm and fly them at like 1,000 feet at night?
Wow.
And just firebomb the shit out of these cities, which is what they did. I mean, they leveled, literally leveled cities. I mean, the atomic bombs were nothing compared to the amount of damage and death that these B-29 raids did. But a lot of these pilots that were probably in this camp were probably flying over Japan, had problems, and then just kept on flying to the mainland and bailed out over China. So that's why they were probably in these camps.
That's what Josh Hartnett did.
Yes. After he flew P-40s and shot down like 6 planes on Pearl Harbor.
Yep. Well, you know, and then the other guy died after getting off the asteroid. So.
Yes.
So. Mixing a lot of metaphors here.
But I don't know where these P-51s would have come from. But I have one clip, and then you have a clip also, right?
Yeah. Music.
Okay.
You have the music clip.
I have the music clip. And the reason why I have the music clip is because I remember this part gave me chills as a kid, and it gave me chills when I watched it this time. It was just a little unfortunate that they couldn't find a pilot that was under 40 years old.
And this whole scene, as this is playing out, these are all practical effects because, you couldn't, now this would be all CG.
Right.
But
and Spielberg wanted this to be one continuous shot of Bale up in like the, on top of that building. But I guess when the action started, he kind of froze up a little bit.
Well, it's understandable.
It was so intense. Yeah. So he had to do some creative editing. But
Bale's character, Jim, he has a bunch of dog tags. Who are those from?
Dudes that died. I don't know.
Well, I suppose, but I mean, the people in the camp are not soldiers.
No, but the pilots.
Okay. But, the doctor is yelling for Jim to get off the roof, and the doctor gets up there and asking Jim to get down, and Jim is just losing his fucking mind.
Mm-hmm.
I touched them. I felt their heat. I could taste them in my mouth.
Doug said that before.
Jim, come back to the hospital. I need some help with the hospital.
Dr. Rawlins, do you remember how we helped to build the runway? If we died like the others, our bones would be in the runway. In a way, it's our runway.
No, it's their runway, Jim.
Try not to think so much.
Try not to think so much.
I can't remember what my parents looked like. I used to play bridge with my mother in her bedroom. She used to comb her hair. I'd watch her. She had dark hair.
Almost done, but I think this is where the Latin comes in.
Immortus est. Immortus est. Taurus de surrendo. Geno vincim.
And
it sounded like he was doing a Harry Potter spell.
Expecto Patronum. Oh, it's a dog in the background. I thought the sound clip was still playing.
The dog is freaking out about something.
No, we missed one thing about when Basie got back to his kind of empty place, he still had one thing left.
And what did he have?
Under the floorboards.
Oh, was it his water?
His boiled water, yeah.
His boiled water, yeah.
But then there's a parachute that's coming down behind the doctor and Jim.
Yes.
And the doctor picks Jim up and starts carrying him downstairs. And the table from the Japanese, and I don't know if you can call it a kamikaze ceremony, I'm assuming.
Yes.
Is still there. And Jim's former caretakers, the guy and the woman that he was perving on, take him back in.
She's kind of a cunt, but she's being very motherly.
Well, that's because they want the reward. Because this had come up earlier about Jim had talked about how they would get a reward for caring for him from his parents after the war was over. And he still has his little Zero silver plane.
Mm-hmm.
That's held up extremely well for four years.
Yeah. Yeah. The next day, the Japanese are moving them and they're allowed to bring one suitcase. And he goes to Basie, and Joey Pants is there, and Joey Pants is crying because Basie left.
Him and Dainty left.
Yes. So they leave. The Japanese kid, the glider kid, he's going to do a kamikaze mission because he's going through a ceremony, but the plane won't start. And he cries because... I can't wrap my head around that. The idea that I'm going to take off in this plane laden with explosives and fly it 300 miles and do my darndest to fly it into a ship.
Yeah. No, it is, when you think about it, you know, you're 49. I'm 50.
Mm-hmm.
We are the accumulation of everything we've done to this point. And, you know, if something had happened when I was 20 or when I was 30 or when I was even 40, I think of the things that I would have missed out on. And more importantly, the things the world would have missed out on if, you know, I had not been around for that time. And it's the same thing with these kids. I mean, they're not, they are basically, they have this youth that, now that's it. That's all that it is. Mm-hmm. But like you said, I call him Glider Boy. He's crushed that his plane won't start. And there's just a sea of people walking. And Jamie is muttering in Latin.
Yeah. Well, you know what? I don't have to drop a kamikaze in the toilet, but I do need to go to the lobby.
Let's all go to the lobby. Let's all go to the lobby. Let's all go to the lobby to get ourselves a treat.
You know, there are a couple different things that come to mind right now. There was, I remember, you know the game Chicken, obviously, right?
Mm-hmm.
So there was this thing, and I never got to play it. But it was supposed to be like a dating thing, like the equivalent of Dating Chicken, where you keep on moving your hand up a woman's leg until she calls no joy.
All right.
So what we were just playing was the equivalent of Pea Chicken.
Okay.
See who calls no joy first and has to go to the bathroom. Because I was thinking, it's like, I really gotta go to the bathroom.
Usually it's you. Usually it's you that sends the lobby text. But I had a cup of coffee at the front of this podcast and it caught up with me. So,
the object of lust is asking Jim where her husband is as they all continue to walk.
Yeah, they can't find her. Why do you call her the object? Yeah, why do you call her the object of lust?
Because isn't that the same woman, Miranda Richardson, that Jim was perving out on?
Oh, yes. Yes, it is. Yes.
He tosses his suitcase into the water.
Mm-hmm.
Why? He's allowed to bring one bag.
I'm not sure. I think a lot of people are dropping stuff that is just, it's too much. They don't want to carry it anymore because they're probably not getting fed and they're probably limited or zero water on this journey. What was that?
Water?
Yeah.
Water.
You're sick. You shouldn't be drinking alcohol.
I'm drinking a Dasani.
Ah, all right.
Canned Dasani.
But they come to a stadium and it's filled with looted stuff.
It's like a giant swap meet.
Yeah.
A rummage sale.
And this is where we see either his parents' car or a car that looks exactly like his parents' car.
It has to be the same one because they focus on the, what do you call it?
The hood ornament. Right.
And there's somebody playing a piano, and I thought for sure that was going to be his mom.
Ah, okay. But that night, there's a guy that tells them that they are leaving, but the chick, Miranda Richardson, doesn't want to go, and he says, but you'll die here. He's like, no, I won't. And then he tells her, Jim tells her to pretend that she's dead.
Right.
But she doesn't have to pretend.
Yeah. They lie down and, yeah, she dies.
Because the next day, yeah, she did. But he's doing CPR on her. And he's like, I can save everybody. And he even sees like an image of himself that he's doing a CPR on a younger image of himself in his school uniform.
Mm-hmm.
And he sees a big flash. And we see the shockwave. He thinks it's her soul leaving her body. And then we hear the radio signal of the Japanese surrender and what it was that he actually saw. And what was it that he saw, Matt?
It was the atomic bomb. I'm assuming it had to be the first one, right?
Hiroshima?
Yeah. Not Nagasaki.
And then, do you know the name of the plane that dropped the bomb on Nagasaki?
The Enola Doug?
Nope. Boxcar.
Oh, was Hiroshima the Enola Doug?
The Enola Bicurious.
Well, it's Fat Man and Little Boy.
Right. Yeah.
No, I did not know the name of the second plane. So.
Yes, Boxcar. But he runs into some Chinese soldiers. Oh, and this is, yeah, the radio transmission is still playing, and we hear about the atomic bombs. And he's walking through a rice paddy, and airdropped canisters are falling from the sky by parachute. He opens one up. I mean, there's everything in there. Hershey bars, cartons of heaters, cans of milk. He can't get into the cans. He finally finds a can opener, pops it open, drinks it. He would get so sick from that.
Yeah, and the whole thing is there is a running thread about you want a Hershey bar?
Yeah.
And they actually have chocolate bars. And I do not know anywhere near the amount of stuff about World War II that you do, but I know that one of the things that American soldiers did or provided or gave to people was they had chocolate bars that they gave to people in liberated cities.
Right.
But the fact that they had these care drop packages or whatever you want to call them ready to go is kind of telling.
I don't know. I don't know the history behind these things or if this happened in China. I don't know. I have no idea if this is truthful or not. But Jim is loaded up the parachute with all kinds of booty and he drags it back to the airfield.
All the way back to the camp, yeah.
Yes. The Japanese glider boy is chopping at the weeds with his samurai sword. He's very upset that he was not able to fulfill his destiny and become a kamikaze pilot. He sees Jim and he's like, I'll kill you! I'll kill you! He's chasing after Jim and then he stops, realizes it's Jim, and starts to cry.
And he throws himself on the wing of the plane.
Yes, they're both sitting there, offers Jim some fruit. I believe it's mango. And Jim can't open it and the kid is laughing at him. But then a car busts through a building and some dudes from Mad Max come out. But who's in the car?
Basie.
And he's in like a white suit. And he sees the Japanese kid with his sword raised. He's going to cut this mango. But, I mean, it looks like he's going to chop off Jim's head. And the other guy runs past Basie and shoots him. That guy comes running. And Jim, like, gets underneath him and launches him, like, 8 feet into the air into the rice paddy. And then jumps on top of him and punches the shit out of him.
Is that where you want your clip?
Yes.
He gave me a mango!
I'll give you a whole goddamn fruit salad. There are Frigidaires falling from the sky. It's kingdom come.
He was my friend!
He was a Jap.
The war's over!
Walk all the way here from Nantel Stadium? Huh?
And then, some old dude in white hair accidentally kills a guy, not knowing that the war is over, and then they have to revive him.
Lee Marvin in The Big Red One.
There you go. I couldn't come up with Lee Marvin off the top of my head. But
the sergeant. This is where Jim does the CPR and is like, I can save everyone. This is where he sees himself as the schoolboy, as blood is like pouring out of this kid's mouth.
And yeah, Jim actually fights Basie's henchman a little bit. And then he gets all profound.
I learned a new word today. Atom bomb. It was like a white light in the sky. Like God taking a photograph. I saw it.
And that's actually where he tries to perform CPR. And it's like, I don't think that works on gunshot victims.
Yeah.
But, The little kid, and this is in my notes, I guess I didn't even have put that together, that was supposed to be Jim as a little kid. But Basie asks if he taught him anything. And what does Jim say that Basie taught him?
Man, I didn't write it down and I remember it, but I don't remember it.
People will do anything for a potato.
Okay. Yeah. And he says, hey, I'll take you to your dad. And Jim stands back. And they're kind of looking at each other. And I wasn't really quite sure what was going through either one of their minds at this point.
Mm-hmm.
But Basie just basically leaves. And as he is walking away, Basie drives up next to him. And he's like, hey, kid, want a Hershey bar?
Yep. And this time he gives him one.
But it was Ben Stiller's character that asked him earlier if he wanted a Hershey bar. He walks away, tears off his dog tags, and now we're days later, I'm not sure, but he's riding his bike inside of the buildings and canisters are crashing through the roofs of these buildings.
Yeah, but this is just like him at his palatial mansion. This has been his home for the last four and a half years. So it is repeating the same thing with him as a lone person. He's riding this bike through it. And as you said, the care packages are crashing through the roof. And actually, in my notes here, it says Lee Marvin shows up and is wondering what the fuck is going on. So apparently I did remember Lee Marvin's name eventually.
All right. Yeah, they're watching him. They stop him. And he gives the colonel a can of evaporated milk, and he says, I surrender. And the colonel takes a drink of it. And that's it. We're done with the camp. Now we're at some sort of orphanage, and all kinds of parents show up. And they have the nuns assemble the children, and they're all staring. We see Jim's parents. They're all sort of like, okay. Because a lot of these, they haven't seen their kids in 4 years.
Right.
You know.
It's like a dog adoption.
Right. I mean, most of these kids, probably their growth has been stunted because of malnourishment.
And it was mostly the moms. There were a few dads there, but it was mostly moms.
Well, I mean, you know, back then, back in the 40s and the 50s.
Guys outside having a heater.
Well, and they're not very affectionate with their children. I mean, it's handshakes instead of a hug and... probably, my dad probably never heard from his father, "I love you," or gave him a hug. So, I mean, that's just how it was. Kids were created to work, because it was like the social thing to do.
There was, it reminded me a lot of the twerp dance in middle school, where you got a lot of people just kind of sitting around and nobody's really interacting. Mm-hmm. And then the very first woman finds her daughter, and that kind of opens the floodgates.
Right.
But Jim's dad walks right by him.
Mm-hmm.
And then the mom sees him and he touches her hand, her lips, her hair, and then it gets a little freaky.
Yeah. Cops a feel in her tit. He's got the 1,000-yard stare. He embraces her. She doesn't reach for him to hug. He embraces her. And then we're back in Shanghai. There's a parade. There's fireworks. We see the river that we saw in the beginning and the suitcase.
Case in the water. Setting up a sequel.
Yes. Empire of the Sun 2. Mission to the Moon.
All right, so your movie, you go.
All right. It was good. I mean, I don't remember it being earth-shatteringly great when I saw it as a kid. I remember as a kid going, it's okay. But it was Steven Spielberg, and it had to do with World War II. So that's what drew me to it, and I liked it. And I would say the same thing about it this time. It was good. It wasn't great.
I remember this film being a lot better than it was. And I think it is, they say that the key to happiness is low expectations. And I think that I had this film on a pedestal going into it, which probably set it up for failure.
Okay. So you didn't like it?
I didn't. It didn't do it for me. It's not a film I'm going to be watching again anytime soon.
Yeah, same here.
Oh, this may sound silly to you, but kids go completely ape if you do three things in a picture. Defy authority, destroy property, and take people's clothes off.
I got my bell back.
Hey, how about that?
And so, last thing is... And now it's time for Jen's 2-second movie review. Okay, so is this a repeat or is it something new?
I'm going to say it's something new.
And now it's time for Jen's 2-second movie review.
I would give it a 3 out of 5.
That was Jen's 2-second movie review.
And Jen!
That is way kinder than she actually talked about it when we were watching it.
Really?
Yeah. Okay. And you didn't say, would you recommend it?
Oh, sure. I mean, yeah. Hey, you want to see a young Christian Bale and Malkovich, you know?
Yeah.
Act pretty good. Yeah. Then watch it. I mean, if you like Spielberg, there's some very Spielberg-y things in this movie.
I did not see the shooting stars, which is a Spielberg thing that happens in every one of his films. So I did not see that.
No, I didn't either.
Whatcha watching?
All right. Did you pack a snack?
So I should go pee now.
Okay. I did my annual viewing of the entire series of The Pacific.
Oh, okay.
Man, is that a good series. It's really, it gets better every time I watch it.
I like it a lot. Band of Brothers is better for my money.
I feel like The Pacific is grittier and has a bigger sense of realism. Band of Brothers is good, but The Pacific is just, it's insane.
Yeah, but when they break out into, like, "We Will Rock You" in the middle of a battle, it just takes me out of it.
What?
The guy who played Freddie Mercury is pretty...
Okay, yes. All right. I'm all caught up on The Boys. Have you watched it?
Yes, I have.
Do you want to talk about that at the beginning of the first episode now?
That was the thing from my introduction that I was going to use.
Oh, that's what it was. Okay, that now I get it. Yeah. That's I've never seen anything like that before. So The Boys is a superhero television show. And there's a superhero called the Termite that can shrink down, and he enjoys the company of men, and his lover says, come on, do the thing. And his lover thumps his cock on a table, and the termite shrinks himself down and goes into his pee hole. And you can kind of see the head of his penis and his pee hole.
Yeah.
And he climbs in there and is like stroking the inside of it.
Yep.
And then sneezes and gets big again and basically blows up this guy from the inside of his cock.
Yep.
I've never seen anything like that before in my life.
Yep, that's fair. I've never seen anything like that either.
Okay. I'm all caught up on For All Mankind. Okay. We watched First Blood 2, and there is a...
How does he get his hand in the mud?
How does he get his hand in the mud?
When Rambo was on the rampage after the "you're not expendable" Rambo girl gets killed, he's completely covered in mud and his eyes open. How did he get his hand in the mud?
How did he get his hand in the mud?
Yeah, he covered himself up with mud.
Yeah. No, but he was in the wall. He was in like a wall of mud.
Yeah, but how did he get his hand in? Because his hand would still be out. He couldn't cover himself up.
I don't know, man.
Okay.
It's this Rambo First Blood. And there is a song at the end of Rambo First Blood 2. Not our song.
Okay, is it by Frank Stallone?
I'm not sure if it's by Frank Stallone. I didn't do the research on it, but it's cheesy like Long Road. Okay. And then we started Rambo 3. I watched Love and Monsters, which on Amazon, which is really good. I highly recommend that. The Lost City with Channing Tatum and Sandra Bullock.
Yep.
That was okay. Nothing great. I watched Skyfall, one of my favorite Bond movies.
Okay.
An Afghanistan War documentary called Hornet's Nest. Vivarium with the dude that plays who's the founder of Facebook? Why can't I think of his name?
Mark Zuckerberg?
Yeah, the guy who plays Zuckerberg in the Fincher movie.
Okay.
Jesse Eisenberg?
Yep.
He
plays Lex Luthor.
Yes. Mm-hmm. And also with Imogen Poots, who is a chick. That's an interesting movie. It's weird. Very weird. I think it gave me some nightmares. It gave me some... I don't know if it was nightmares, but it just gave me very weird dreams. And then also I watched this movie with Dinklage called I Think We're Alone Now. It's kind of an end of the world movie. Man, he's a great actor.
Okay.
And then wrapped up Obi-Wan this morning.
Okay. So is that it?
That would be it, yes.
All right, so let's start with Kenobi.
Okay.
Right up until the time we started the podcast, I was arguing online with people about Kenobi.
Were you?
There's so many problems with the show.
Oh, yeah. Did you change anybody's mind?
Oh, no. No, I was told I was an idiot and I wasn't paying attention to what was going on.
Okay. And,
you know, I guess, spoiler alert. So if you don't want to hear about Kenobi, turn it off now.
Yes.
Was cool to see Qui-Gon at the very end.
Yes.
Not cool the fact that he was not translucent through that scene, which fucking bothered me.
Yeah.
The fact that Obi-Wan had a chance to kill Vader didn't problematic. Right.
Yes.
The whole timeline does not work with the third sister. First she gets stabbed and somehow gets to Tatooine, finds Owen, finds Luke in the course of like 3 hours.
How does she know who Owen is? She doesn't.
She does. She found Obi-Wan's little comlink thing with his message.
But does
from
Bail Organa say Owen?
Yes. Owen does. On Tatooine.
Okay, yes. And that's fucking stupid that would be in there.
Is Tatooine writing like the size of Delafield?
Yeah.
I'm sorry. It's a fucking planet. It's going to take some time to find him.
It's like saying, hey, go to Russia and find Rob. Okay.
So disappointed.
The whole ship being chased by the Star Destroyer and not being destroyed. It brought back flashbacks of the Last Jedi. Yeah. And then they have this drop ship, which is not a small drop ship. Why didn't they just pack everybody into that ship and take off? Because it goes into light speed.
And why didn't when Obi-Wan is, he leaves the transport to divert the Star Destroyer.
Yeah.
Once the transport is free, why wouldn't he just take off? He didn't kill Vader anyway, so there's no reason for him to have that confrontation.
Yeah. And then the fact at the end where Obi-Wan goes, you know, hey, do you want to meet him? Well, sure. And he, hello there. Well, didn't we just watch a movie like a week and a half ago that said, oh, I think he died when your father died. He knew my father?
Oh, that was one of the things. It's like, and people tell me why that's not a plot hole. And yeah. And the reason why Leia's message of you served my father during the Clone Wars, not, hey, you rescued my ass from that evil bitch.
Right.
Why that's not a plot hole. Arguing online, I know it's pointless, but mm-hmm. still, I'm going to do it.
Yeah.
It's not. Book of Boba Fett was probably worse, but I was looking forward to it a lot less than Obi-Wan. Mm-hmm. Obi-Wan is a much bigger disappointment.
Yeah, I feel like it shouldn't have even been made. That it's they're just, I mean, it's a cash cow. But it's, there was no point in this show being made whatsoever.
Nothing came of it of any worth.
Right.
Okay, I watched Ambulance.
How's that?
Third Sister is in it.
Oh, okay.
It's enjoyable. It's a 2.5-hour chase movie.
All right.
It's a little bit on the hard to believe side, but I enjoyed it. I enjoyed it much more than Jen did. Up to date on The Boys, watched that from up to like what is current.
Mm-hmm.
Watched all of Stranger Things season 4.
All right. And
I was with you as far as like, it was a little disappointing. It finishes really strong.
Okay, well, then I'm going to have to jump back in because I stopped watching it. I don't even think I finished the first episode.
I was watching it, and I'm just kind of like, the last two episodes, especially the last episode, they're strong.
Okay.
I was not disappointed in that.
All right.
Went back to Longmire. I don't know if you saw this or not, but the Umbrella Academy season 3 dropped today.
I did see that. Something else dropped today, too. Oh, Doctor Strange.
Yep, got that multiverse. Already.
Okay, on Disney.
And then I'm up to date on Strange New Worlds.
All right.
It's good. It's really, really good.
All right.
It's
difficult because there's the what do you call it? Subtitles
yeah.
Match.
Yeah, I get it.
They don't match it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I understand. Sorry. And just in case you want to know, the guest star in the latest episode of Strange New Worlds, she is a cock. So just in case you Google that.
Okay. Like in real life.
Yes, in real life.
This is a real, okay. All right.
Yeah, just letting you know.
All right.
So ready for next week's film?
Sure.
I'm so excited. And I just can't hide it. 3 degrees to next week's movie, and I think I like it.
I was able to get there in one. So
all right, okay.
So Ben Stiller plays Dainty in this week's movie. He plays Ted in 1998's There's Something About Mary. Matt Dillon plays Healy in that film. Dillon plays Randy in next week's 1980s film, which is not a porno.
A little inside baseball. I had some extra time yesterday, and I said, hey, I've got some time. Could you tell me what next week's movie is? Because I might be able to watch it, which, by the way, I didn't because it was hot as balls yesterday. So I shut her down early, and I came home and got some paperwork done, and I was going to watch it. And then my youngest was like, Dad, you want to play some board games with me? I can't say no to that.
We had a power outage anyway. So,
Little Darlings. And when you told me that, I had to look it up because I'm like, he's fucking with me. This is a porno. And no, it's a real movie.
No, it's a real movie with Christy McNichol and Tatum O'Neill.
Have you watched the trailer for it?
I saw the movie.
Oh, God, it looks like a steaming pile of dog shit just from the trailer.
It is a very much a coming-of-age film from a woman's point of view.
All right.
Jen is very much looking forward to watching
it. Well, of course she is. This is her type of movie, like Dirty Dancing or Pretty in Pink or... Okay. I almost vetoed it after I watched the trailer.
Okay, so tell me when it's going to be and bring us on home.
I don't know when it's going to be. I'm camping this weekend, and then I got two baseball games next week, so I will get to it when I can get to it. Yeah, man, my plate is just... I'm kind of burning the wick at both ends, so I'm... Baseball season ends mid-July, and we're pretty much running two games. We have a tournament. So... I'll figure it out.
Okay.
Maybe next week sometime. So, yeah. Hey, thanks everybody for watching. I don't know if this movie's available on YouTube.
It's not available anywhere.
It's not available anywhere. That's great that you're, yeah. Both movies, my next two choices are available on YouTube. One with ads. But hey, thanks everybody for listening to our Christian Bale Love-a-thon. You can reach out to the show, betamaxrewind@yahoo.com. Rate and review where you get your podcasts. Helps with the algorithm. Helps more people like you find us. And join us whenever we get to it, to Little Darlings.
And I got to say, Doug, it was fun. It was fun talking to you again. It's been a hot minute. And I know I'm not firing on all cylinders, but still, it was fun reconnecting with you, if you will.
There you go. Yes, things will get back to normal. Like I said, it's just got a lot going on right now.
Sounds good. We will see you next time for Little Darlings.
All right. See you later.